Good to be here today. I want to remind you that man cannot atone for his own sins. Sins we commit are ours because we committed the sin. I want to go into Numbers chapter 21 this morning. I want to break into a kind of a story that many people don't. Some of you don't know. Most of you maybe do know, but we're going to revisit an area, something with the bronze snake, if you've ever heard of that. We're going to talk about the bronze snake this morning. I know if my mother was here and I said the word snake, she'd probably be like, I'm going to go to the other room for a while. Some people don't like snakes. I don't like snakes either. I don't like them. Good snake is a dead snake to me. But today, it's going to do two different things as we read. And we're going to find out that God uses these snakes for a purpose. And sometimes when we read Scripture, sometimes we read these odd pieces of Scripture and we kind of like, okay, I'll just do that later. But it's okay, read it. You'll learn something from it and come back again. And sometimes Scripture can take a lifetime. And if you don't think so, ask Pastor Phil Jones and he'll tell you that even you can be preaching for years and still struggle with Scripture from time to time. Here we find out that God's people, the Israelites, have won a great victory. They have not been, they're not a, Moses is their leader. They've won a great victory. They defeated a Canaanite king. They've got a victory in their life, and they feel good. And you know what? It does feel good to get victories in your life, doesn't it? Feels good to have a victory in your life. Feels good to be able to win in some things in life. But what we do, we want to pick up here in verse 4 in chapter 21 of the book of Numbers. Then they set out for the Mount of Hor by the way of the Red Sea to pass to bypass the land of Edom. But the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses, "Why have you led us up from Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread or water, and we detest this wretched food." Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they bit them so that many Israelites died. Man, that is a tough little piece here. What we find out is Israelites here have got this great victory. Now, God is moving them into a direction, and they're setting out to this Mount Hor. But God doesn't want them to go through. They're not going to go through Edom. They're just not going to. They got to go around. They don't like the journey. They don't like it. Folks, let me remind you that if God's called you to do something, you're on a journey and you don't like it, you're going to have problems with it. You're going to have problems with it because you want to be the captain and you want to be the lead. You got to let that go. Or you will struggle with that for the rest of your life. Because God has a plan. He has a way for it to be. He has something for His people, Israelites to do something. And there's an old promise in here anyway with Edom and some things of that sort. But we're not going in that direction. We're going to stick here with the Israelites right now. And so here it is. They became impatient. When we become impatient and we allow our impatience to lead, we will begin to make mistakes. We will begin to do things that we shouldn't do. We begin to say things that we shouldn't say. All because we do not want to go on the journey maybe that God has set forth for you. God has set forth all of us here as individuals to follow the will of the Lord, that the Lord puts His will into your life, but also He gives this church a will, His will. He wants us to follow as a church into His will as well. And He does that all throughout believers and churches. And when we become impatient, we have to be careful not to become impatient. Impatient means we want it now, we want to do what we want to do, and we want to do it our way, and so they become impatient. They do a couple of things here. The impatience takes over, and it spills over. When we become impatient, we should go to the Lord and ask God to take that out of us, try to use what God's called us. He said He gave us the spirit of self-control. And sometimes we need to turn up our self-control and use it and pray, "Lord, help me have more self-control. Turn it up so impatience doesn't work into an area of temptation, and we fall into it, and then it becomes sin. Here's what happened. We have read. Here's what happened. Because of the journey, they became impatient, so the people spoke against God and Moses. I want to remind you, be careful how you speak about God. I want to remind you to be careful how you speak about Jesus and also how you speak about the Holy Spirit. You need to be cautious how you speak. Do not speak against the Lord. Do not speak against Him. Do not speak against Him. We should be speaking for Him. We should be speaking about Him and being joyful. Even our times of heartache and brokenness, we are still to be able to speak positively about the Lord. Because He says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you always. Always. But here the people began to grumble. These people were used to doing that. That's what they did. They loved to live on the high points. They loved to live in the victories. They loved to live where God is moving. And but they always became impatient. This is an impatient people. God would call them stiff-necked people. These were very impatient people. They always wanted everything right now. They always wanted it done in the way they wanted it to be done. And here it is. They speak out against God. And then this is what they say. Why have you led us up from Egypt to die in the wilderness? It's the same thing they've been saying ever since they stood in front of the Red Sea. What did you do? Bring us out here to die in the desert. Let me remind you, God's not taking you anywhere where your life is going to be less. His will is always to draw you closer to Him. His will is always to bring you into the fold. His will is always to get you in there where He puts His arms around you, where you follow Him, where He can lead you into a life that is more pleasing to Him and honors Him. But they don't stop there. They said, what'd you do? Just bring us out here to die? There is no food, or there is no bread, and there is no water. They always complained about the physical needs. There is no bread, and there is no water. And they don't stop. What they do is they begin to say something that is even probably, I'd say the biggest one is, they do not like how God is providing. Here's what they says. There's no bread or water. And we detest this wretched food. We don't like how you're taking care of us, is what they are saying. We don't like how you're taking care of us. And God would allow this manna, food from heaven, to be there. And they would eat it. They don't like it. There's never been a group of people that have seen God move more than any other group of people in the world. The people that saw Jesus do things here and there, they would be there for a little bit, and then they wouldn't see all these miracles. But this generation saw more miracles by the hand of God than anyone. Here again, they continue to complain and complain. You know, that's what we do sometimes too. God takes care of us. We ask God to answer prayer. He answers the prayer. But we just continue to complain. We continue to complain over and over and over. And we shouldn't do that. We should be grateful. We should be giving thanksgiving to God. We should honor God with our mouths and all that we have. But here it is. They have done some very bad things. They spoke against God and they spoke against His servant. They're upset. Their impatience is coming out. And it turns into sin. There's no bread, there's no water, we're complaining. And by the food that you're giving us, we don't like that anymore. God's going to do something about that. Can I remind you, when you speak to God, He is listening. He is listening. And He knows the motive behind the words that you say. He is already examining the heart. He knows it before the words come out, where your heart is. And He's going to do something. He does something here. It says, then the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they bit them so that many Israelites died. Now that's a hard piece. God would send poisonous snakes amongst the people. God did something miraculous to remind them who God is. You see, sometimes even as a parent in your life group this morning, you learn that that sometimes God has to discipline. A parent has to discipline their children. God is using something here because these people will not stop bellyaching toward God, and God has done a great thing for them, led them out of their slavery, brought them, bringing them into a promised land, showing them, moving every obstacle away in front of them, providing for them, taking care of them. He's setting up things, and they continue to rebel. And here they say, we're sick of how you're doing it, pretty much. You're not getting there fast enough. So God allows, he brings in these poisonous snakes to come around and bite the people. It is a reminder that all of us do sin. But what happens when these snakes happen? Let's just read verse 7. Then the people then came to Moses and said, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Intercede with the Lord so that he will take the snakes away from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a snake image and mount it on a pole. When anyone who is bitten looks at it, he will recover. So Moses made a bronze snake and mounted it on a pole. Whenever someone was bitten and he looked at the bronze snake, he recovered. This is the obstacle. The snakes biting people, and these scriptures here become an obstacle for us in learning and seeing what God is really doing here. What it is, the people have sinned. This is almost a stopping point. The Lord says, we got to stop. You need to remember who you're talking to. You need to remember I have a plan. You need to remember what this journey is all about. You see, some of us are on a journey in life and we're doing our own thing. And this is why we have so many problems in our lives. We're doing our thing instead of God's thing. And so what we find out here is that the Lord, that the people came to Moses and they admitted that we have sinned. We have sinned against the Lord and against you. We have sinned. And so what does Moses do? He goes and he intercedes for them. He prays to God for the people. Let me remind you also that people are praying for you. If you're not living for the Lord today, I would assume probably if someone that you know, maybe a parent or someone, is praying for you. Praying for you that you get yourself right back in place with God. All God-fearing parents do that. All God-fearing grandparents do that for their children. They will always pray that their children, their grandchildren, will get back in with the Lord. You see, today God's not sending snakes biting people, but he is sending things out to cause issues with people so that people will turn and do exactly what we're getting ready to see right here. But we see that there is an interceder. That is Moses. He intercedes. And here it is. These people are saying that we have sinned. But sometimes that's not enough. Oh, I've sinned. It's not enough. Here it is. Because we can acknowledge what we want. But if it doesn't go, if it just comes out the mouth and it's not from the heart, then it really didn't mean much, right? You ever have one of the children that come up to you and say, I'm sorry, but you know, you looked in them right in the eye and you go, you know, that's not what you really, you just want to get out of trouble. You just want to get out of trouble. You want the pain to go away. That's all you want right now. Here it is. God's going to do something that this is the stumbling block that some of us, we struggle with. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a snake image. Now, the second commandment, the Ten Commandment, the second commandment is thou shalt not make any graven images. Here, God is saying, I want you to make a snake image. Okay? Now, here's the thing. God said in the second commandment not to worship those images. This image is not to be worshipped. This image, listen, if you've been bit by a snake, you ever been bit by a dog? Maybe that's the closest. Maybe somebody here has been bit by a poisonous snake. I don't know. The odds are pretty slim here. We go down to Kentucky, it might be a little higher. But here it is. You don't walk well, do you? You don't walk well. You're probably crawling. People's got to help you. Here it is. People are hurting. People are in pain and suffering. It's a very suffering thing. But the Lord says, I want you to make a snake image and I want you to put it on a pole. I want you to lift it up. Because everybody out there that's been bit by a snake is a part of the problem. They've all sinned against me and now they need to work themselves over and need to get down there and they need to look at this snake. And it says, anyone who looked at it, he recovered. Now, it wasn't that they looked at the snake that really recovered it. It was the work that they had to do. It was really getting to that place to look at the snake, but it was really all about faith. That's what it was. It was faith. Am I going to go over there and really, is really God going to heal me for that? Is God really going to heal me from this? And so it took faith to do it, just like the lady that was bleeding. She had to have faith to go. She was bleeding all those years. People would come to Jesus, hey, my daughter's dead. My son has got this demon. And always, those people all had faith because they went to Jesus and said, Jesus, help me, son of David, help me. Here it is. God lays it out and says, listen, here's the way you're going to do it. And lift up this snake, and there's another purpose we'll get to. You're going to lift up this snake on a pole, and you're going to look at it. And it was a faith piece. It was a faith piece. Now, we also see that the second commandment of the Ten Commandments was, thou shalt not make any graven images. But then we see that these people also messed up in a time when they had created a golden calf. But that golden calf was to just carouse and just go out in all kinds of sinful lifestyle living and just party all night long and do what they did. And that cost thousands of people's lives right there. But this is being lifted up for a purpose. One, God said it. Number two, if you want to be healed, you got to go to it and you got to look at it. You got to look at it. See, sometimes we have to look at our sin, don't we? We have to be reminded of what it is. What just bit me? We're looking at this big old snake. You know, he's like, oh, I don't like those things. Now look at it. But here it is. Am I going to let that rule in my life? Or am I going to believe? Am I going to believe that God says, if I look at this, I know that I'm going to be healed? It's coming. It's turning them back toward God. It's turning them back toward God. God stopped them right there on their spot. God is patient. When we're impatient, God says, okay, we can stop the journey right now. Until I get your undivided attention, we're done. We're stopping right here. Just like when you're going shopping in Christmas time, you'll see mom or dad sit there and say, we're done. We're stopping. The cart stops right here. Until you get your act together, we're not going any further. Get that out of the cart. We're not buying that. I want that. Nope. Get it out of the cart. And God has more patience than we do. But sometimes he's going to say, listen, just because you've put it back out there doesn't mean, no, you're not ready. You're still not honoring me. You're still got all this junk. You still got all this stuff. Listen, there's going to be some pain, a little suffering for you. But you're going to have to do it my way now. Now you're going to stop and you're going to have to turn. And you're going to have to do something that I'm going to do. So he lifts up. So Moses had to lift it up. And he lifts it up and it says, whenever someone was bitten, he looked and they were healed. Now, some people probably didn't believe it in the beginning. But there were some people that says, you know what? I got to do it. I really messed up. I got to do it. What does God say? Really, it's focusing back on what God said, getting their faith restarted, and they do it. And guess what? They come back, and they're not crawling no more. They're walking. And other people see it, and they go, what? What? I saw them. They were bit, too. And I seen them, and they were bit, too. So finally, all these people they get it all done, and they start moving. But it cost them. The scripture says that a lot of Israelites died. A lot of Israelites died. They just refused. They wouldn't believe. And God knew exactly which ones were going to die. Let me bring you over here to 2 Kings number 18. I want to share something with you. And we're going to come back to that for a minute. But I want to share something with you. Because as I was studying this, there was something I needed to remind you of. Do you see that cross over there? It's two pieces of wood and the bottom piece of wood and some thorns over there. It's a reminder to us what it is. But I want to also remind you of this. We don't worship that. Some of you have a cross, a necklace cross. Some of you have a tattoo on you that's a cross or a scripture. Listen, all it is a token. Really, it's just a reminder to you. But if you worship that emblem, you worship that cross, and you got to, I'm going to say it like this, say certain words, whatever. I'm not going to try to offend, say Hail Marys and all that stuff. Listen, it's faith. The cross, I can be a Christian without a necklace on my chest. I can be a Christian without a tattoo cross or a tattoo scripture on my arm or on my back or whatever it is. If you have those, that's fine. I'm just saying those are not to be worshipped. Those are not to be worshipped. I don't need beads. I don't need over my head. No, because I have something. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I don't need a token to worship. But let me just share something. Let me show you what happened with this bronze snake. here it says in 2 Kings chapter 18. Now we move up like 1,600 years later. Check this out. 1,600 years later, King Hezekiah, he's this young guy, about 25 years old, and he is a new king. But the scripture says he's a really pretty good king. Here's what he does. He says in verse 3, it says, he did what was right in the Lord's eyes and his sight, just as his ancestor David had done. He removed the high places, shattered the sacred pillars, and cut down the Asher poles. There was a few other kings that did that too, right? Cut down those Asher poles, took away the high places. But King Hezekiah did something that was different than all the rest. He broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses made. For until then, the Israelites were burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. They gave it a name. They began to worship it. These folks, we have to be careful that we don't worship New Life Ministries. We have to be careful that we don't worship this building. We have to be careful that we don't worship, we have to have a cross in them on the stage. Oh, that's a no-no if we don't know. That's the reminder. It's a reflection. We should know the story behind it that is perforated inside of us. So we don't worship our church name. We don't worship our denomination. We don't worship those things. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But these people had a 1,600-year stumbling block. So what that told me was they carried it with them. They carried it with them. Now you're thinking, what does all that have to do with anything? John chapter 3, a guy named Nicodemus is checking Jesus out. He's going to ask him some questions. What must I do? What is it? This is born again stuff. And Jesus begins to talk to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, he says this. I'll start in verse 12. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, nor will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses, verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. What? Jesus is referring to something a couple thousand years earlier. Several thousand years earlier, about this snake thing. Just this little pocket of scripture that we just pass over. King Hezekiah destroys it. He says, I'm sick of it. Where the Israelites are worshiping this bronze snake. And then all these years later, Jesus brings it up. But there's an important piece. Because Jesus knew the power of what was going on with that. He says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That's the key right there. So that whoever believes in him, the old way was for whoever believes, whoever would look, would be healed. Here, when Jesus is lifted up on the cross, it's not a snake, it's Jesus being lifted up on the cross. Then whoever looks upon him and believes, the scripture says, and he shall be saved. The Old Testament, in that moment of all the snakes biting, because they what? They committed sin. The snake, bronze snake, had to be lifted up so everyone can see it. Had to be a big one. Everyone can see it. Now, whoever looked at it would be healed. But the snake itself became a stumbling block. And here we find today, sometimes the cross can be a stumbling block. Because someone goes to church on Easter, every Easter. Because I've got to go to that place that has a steeple and has a cross on it. I'm going to go there. Because that's what saves me. Going to church. I have a book, it's about a man who wanted to witness to famous people. And he writes letters to famous people, and he sent one to this famous coach. And so this famous coach, he says, so he puts the plan of salvation there. He goes, hey, I thank you for sending me the plan of salvation. I have my own salvation. I believe in God. I think, though, that you asking people to ask about Jesus is a private matter. That should be between a man and God. And then he says, I believe that I'm going to heaven because I believe I have done enough good things. You know what he believed in? He believed in the church. He believed in a cross. He believed in a lifestyle. He believed in his own goods. He shot every which way, but he missed. He didn't look at what he needed to look at. He was looking at everything else, and he was amiss. He missed the mark. And God wants it to be lifted up so that everyone can see and not miss it. The old Israelites needed to look at the bronze snake to be healed. The scripture says many were healed, but also many died. Today, the cross is lifted up. Jesus was lifted up. Jesus is still the one that heals today. The problem is, we all have been bitten. We have all been bitten because we've all sinned before God. Every one of us have sinned before God. And we've all been bitten in some type of way of life and its sin and its consequences. For the wages of sin is death. So God loved the world so much that he put his son on the cross and lifted it up so that all that would believe and see would be saved. My question to you today is this. Are you still snake bitten? Or have you come to the cross and look at the one that was lifted up and said, I believe that Jesus is who he is. If you have not, then you are still bitten and you are full of your sin. And death awaits you. Father, today we've lifted up your word today in a way that only you can lift it up. Father, anyone that is here that is saved today knows the journey of being bitten and knows the journey of coming to you and looking at you, knowing the story and seeing you on the cross. And at that moment of being believing in you, we were saved. But Lord, that is not true for everyone. For everyone that looks doesn't always believe in you, but maybe believe in the image. Or believe in something else. So they continue to live bitten with sin. And your word says it leads to death. But you lead to life. Lord, may this message penetrate to the people that are here today in a life-changing manner. May one be healed today. Let's stand. Let's go ahead.